I call this meeting of Sylvania's City Council for November 16th, 2020 to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Manum?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Dow? Ms. Dow?
She's on the screen. Can you hear us, Lindsay?
I'm here.
Okay.
Mrs. Westphal?
Here.
All right. All seven members of City Council are present. Five are in council chambers. Two, Mr. Hanem and Ms. Dow, are attending via Zoom. We have Chief Graham joining us with his crutches tonight. What's going on, Chief?
Knee surgery.
Oh, I can commiserate with that. All right. With that, we will move right to our Pledge of Allegiance, led to this meeting by Mr. Frye.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, we do have some items for you tonight. First was the meeting minutes, which were regrettably left out of the council packet. They are at your council spots tonight. Have they been emailed to Mr. Hanem and Ms. Dow?
I've downloaded them all.
Okay. Okay. Also, Mr. Haller has given us a picture of a clock beacon. That's a part of Agenda Item 9. You also have at your council seats tonight Resolution 24-2020. I want to add that as Agenda Item 16. This was as requested. Chief?
May I do that to the agenda? Do you have room for me?
We do. We'll put you up near the top so you don't have to stay.
Oh, I enjoy it.
I know. What's the status of your knee?
Well, I had surgery on the 7th, and like a good male about 50-some years old, I didn't listen. Now I've had a relapse, so I'm back on crutches.
Is it, what kind of surgery?
I had meniscus surgery.
Oh, that's different. Okay. That's easy. Okay, we will add you, however, as Agenda Item 4A, Chief.
Okay.
Right after the meeting minutes. Then we'll go into COVID update, and I'm going to want your input on that as well. All right. That's the extent of my ad. Mrs. Westphal?
Nothing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Other members of City Council?
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Frye?
At the last council meeting, we had a safety committee hearing prior to the council meeting, and 14A, as you mentioned before this, talk about safety committee staffing question?
Yes, as Agenda Item 14A under committee reports, I know that we had the safety committee meeting 2 weeks ago. However, we wanted to give council members a chance to come back with questions, confirm their acceptance of the three records clerk solution, and order legislation tonight. Well, thank you for adding that, Mr. Frye. Other items from members of City Council? We don't have all the lights on. A couple of you are kind of in darkness. Sorry about that. Mr. Sanford.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer is absent tonight. The chief is here tonight. Chief, any items?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Glad you could be here tonight. And Mr. Aller.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded for approval of the agenda as amended. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda for this evening's meeting is approved. Next is the approval of the council meeting minutes from November 2nd. Mrs. Westphal, you were absent, so I'm going to go to Mr. Frye for approval of these meeting minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hearing any members of council not having any corrections, I would like to submit the meeting minutes of council for November 2nd, 2020 to for approval as submitted.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded for approval of the meeting minutes from our November 2nd meeting as submitted. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Chief Ram, thank you for joining us. You're welcome to sit down back there if it's easier for you.
I'm okay. Just like I told the doc, I was okay.
When I had my knee replacement surgery, I also did too much and I got scolded by the surgeon and sat down for a while.
Yeah, well, I was doing fine for the first couple weeks, but I think it was because I was so amped up about the levy that nothing was really bothering me. And then all of a sudden the levy passes and I'm doing yard work and everything like I thought it was fine to do, and it really wasn't. So, but actually, thank you very much for the time this evening. What I wanted to do was come and say thank you to the citizens of the city of Sylvania, to the city council, and to you, Mr. Mayor. We were very successful in passing our fire levy, and I don't think it would have been as successful without the backing of the people from the city and the township and council members. So from me to you guys, thank you very much.
As I said at a recent meeting, it might have been Community Improvement Corporation, I forget which, you obviously did what was necessary to gain the public's trust. You listened, you re-looked at it again, and you had all the facts and figures. So you did it just right by the high one. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was like I mentioned, Mr. Jones, Mike Jones from this township that interviewed me the other day and said, you did such a great job. And I said, I was a small cog in a huge wheel. Mark Lukey and everybody on the committee and the guys and gals on the department out there every day waving and like today doing everything that they normally do. It's just amazing. I'm blessed to be where I'm at. So I just wanted to say thank you. Tell everybody thank you.
Thanks, Chief. Have a seat and feel free to chime in anytime during the meeting, particularly during this next added session for this agenda item number 5, COVID-19 update. I have scheduled tomorrow a local mayor's conference and we'll be having it with the health commissioner and with a representative of the Ohio Hospital Association in Zone 1, Northwest Ohio. This is a chart from a week ago. I think I told you about this chart in the past, but it has gotten worse. 43560 is clearly a large zip code. And we've hovered in the top 5 or 6 of the zip codes in Lucas County for some time. But in the last 3 weeks, we have gone to the top. And this report, we are way at the top. You can see it's not in the 15 to 21 day numbers, the green numbers to the left. It's a little bit in the 8 to 14 days, but the 0 to 7 days, we are way past any other zip code. This has also been verified at the Lucas County Sanitary Sewer Plant and Wastewater Treatment Plant, where they do COVID testing of the wastewater as it comes through. And it was even published in the paper that watch out in Western Lucas County, it looks like the COVID is spreading. And it is. Governor DeWine has been in the media both days over the weekend expressing concern about what's going on in Ohio. His peer up in Detroit has already taken action to the press conference Sunday afternoon. But I'm waiting to hear what I hear tomorrow from the health commissioner, from the governor during his 2 o'clock press conference, and also Thursday during the press conference when he said he might take additional action. I want to impress upon all of you and all the citizens of Sylvania that the pandemic surge is really going up at the moment. There is much to be concerned about. I have your city staff re-examining their operational plans and their chain of command plan, so that if indeed we are shut down by the governor or we need to do it on our own because of people being infected, we are ready to continue to provide services to the citizens of Sylvania. As of last week, we had not had much in the way of COVID cases in the city of Sylvania. I'll knock on this wood, and Chief, I'll look at you first, Chief Snower. And I know that you had a member who might have been infected at home, but has your situation changed?
Right now, we have one officer who's finishing a quarantine who will be back on the 23rd of November. No other reports of illness or requirement for testing at this time. Over the course of the pandemic, we've had probably 10 or 11 officers tested. One tested positive about a month and a half ago, recovered and came back to work under the protocol. And the officer that's on quarantine right now is not sick, had initially tested negative, but under county regulations because of the positive test in the household. And that's the current state of the manpower at this point.
We are already down some officers, 3 or 4 officers in the police department because of retirements and one injury. And so any COVID cases will necessitate the chief on taking a change in shifts, which we'll just be prepared for if it comes. Mr. Allen, anything new to report?
No, we have a piece of work. Staff has so far we do not have any positive cases for staff. Sit by open for the district departments.
So
we've got a couple family issues where we've got some quarantine or vaccination. Nothing that through.
We are very fortunate and I hope that continues. However, I can tell you that last Tuesday Michael Beasley shared with me as the city administrator for Oregon that they were re-shutting down their city hall and going on to split shifts for their employees because I think he said they had 3 police officers and 4 firefighters all isolated or quarantined, and they also had cases in their city staff. He talked about an employee who had gone to Mexico with his wife and came back, but then said, well, that's not where the COVID came from. But he brought it up, so I'm not sure that that wasn't the reason. It can go very quickly, as it is in the general public right now, so I encourage all of you to take extra care in how large your groups you meet with and how long you're meeting with them. Meet with them outside if you can. All the things that you're hearing in the media will help everyone else. At the time, last week of the Tuesday call, a representative of the Ohio Hospital Association reported that hospital beds were not critical in Northwest Ohio. Ventilators were not critical in Northwest Ohio, but healthcare workers were critical. And they were going to work on that. There aren't many places to go to get any substitutes. He did bring up the fact that in some states, and I think Wisconsin is one of them, they are allowing asymptomatic hospital workers come back to work in COVID wards with wearing proper PPE, but they certainly don't want to go there. The emergency COVID center that they had planned at the convention center is still a possibility if we hit those mile markers with cases. But they immediately said, we don't think we can open them. We don't have anybody to man. So that's the real issue. Chief, I don't know whether, Chief Ram, I don't know whether you want to add anything else or not.
We've been hit kind of hard. I just got 3 guys back all from one station back today. We've had some positive tests sitting on the board and on the fire chief's board. We're testing at least 15 and 20 first responders a day right now. Over the last week and a half, that's what the average has been. So it's hitting the fire and first responders and EMS people really hard. We did get some CARES Act money, so today we were looking at some of the stuff that we had to do, and it's interesting of some of the wording, whether you've been exposed or were you contaminated, and it's crazy the way things are going right now. I knew it would spike. I had no idea it would spike like it is. I did speak with Lucas County today. Lucas County may be shutting down some of their offices too. They have quite a few people down there, either like Mr. Alex, the family members or somebody. If you've been exposed to it, then they have to follow the guidelines. And as Chief Schnorr, I'm down four or five firefighters too. So, and I just had one had extended lead surgery. So, I take three or four guys out of one station. It puts a hard knock on us. But as the Lucas County Fire Chiefs, we've all gotten together. We do have a contingency plan that one department gets really low, we can figure out ways to shift some of our people around to help each other out. So I don't think we're in grave danger of not being able to supply the personnel and the equipment. It's a crazy pandemic. I'm nervous about it, but my guys and gals are doing a great job. I will say our run volume has gone through the roof for COVID runs. Probably a month and a half or so ago, we were lucky to have one a day, and we're probably averaging somewhere between 7 and 10 a day that we're transporting positive COVID patients. So I think it's only going to get worse, unfortunately.
Any questions or comments from members of City Council?
Is that the COVID runs per day? Is that typically like somebody calls 911 at their house because they're having symptoms and you pick them up and take them to the hospital? That's what that is?
Yeah. And that's really increased because a lot early on, what people were doing was instead of calling us to go, they didn't want to go sit in the ER because they didn't know if the person next to them had COVID. But now people are so much more sick when they're waiting so long to call for us, we don't have much of a choice then to take them to the hospital. So yeah, it's I don't think it's going to get much better anytime soon.
I did hear last week, Chief, that two of our Toledo area hospitals weekend before last had actually put a pass on. They were not accepting anybody in their emergency rooms. Have you had that experience?
No. I do know that our ICU beds and some of that stuff, the numbers of, we were down into the 20% available, and I do know some hospitals will go on bypass, but there's no such thing as COVID bypass. Heart and trauma and that kind of stuff, if they have so much of that going on they can't take any more, then they'll bypass us, but never heard of anything for COVID. Now, a place such as Mercy Freestanding at Central and King, they won't accept them because if they're going to be admitted, then they have to ship them out of there to get admitted. So if they're showing signs and symptoms, when we call and tell the doc what we have, they'll send us the St. Anne's or the Flower or the Toledo. So to say that they're saying they're closed, don't bring them here, we haven't had that yet. Remember early on they had Bay Park as our COVID hospital, and I have not heard whether that's going to crank back up as a COVID hospital. I'm supposed to have a couple of meetings over the next couple of days of hospital council. I sit on all that too, so wait to hear what they have to say.
I have not heard that they're going to do that isolation. Other questions?
Mr. Mayor, I don't know what certainly the population in all of these zip codes are and what these results show as a percentage of population, but certainly not happy to see 43560 at the top of the rung there. Is there anything that they would attribute that to in particular in our area? Is there any special events or anything that may have contributed? Is there any thinking around that or discussion around that ever?
When they had the pop-up testing center at Tam O'Shanter a couple of weeks ago, they had planned to have that at A7 Park. And they were doing that specifically because they thought there had been cases coming from team activities for parents in stands. And they switched it to Tam O'Shanter without contacting me, give them a chance to say, no, you can't do that, it's in the neighborhood. Because they felt it was, Tam O'Shanter was creating a lot of their contact tracing problems. But I don't think that's where it's really at. I think it's all in the small family gatherings or your neighborhood gatherings or game day football parties and things like that. I think a lot of people are COVID tired. They want to believe that if their neighbors or families are not showing symptoms, that they must not have COVID, and if they thought they had COVID, they certainly wouldn't infect their friends or family. And that's not the way it works. There's an awful lot of people, especially young people, that are asymptomatic, and you need to keep your bubble in place, is what I'm being told.
Thank you.
I have asked for those population numbers. They were going to try to come up with them, but they don't have populations broken down.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Brown.
I'm asking you a spreadsheet. I actually did some.
Oh!
I'm sure you also brought it up.
No.
So that was just population pulled out of a Google database by zip code. So it doesn't change the overall thought process of the chart that the health department, but if they could replicate that, that would be helpful for me, anyways, maybe other people as well, beyond me, but to give you a sense of perspective.
I will bring it up to them.
We do have a very large zip code by population, so.
However, not the largest.
No, 43615 is the largest.
43560 is 35,000, 43615 is 42,700. 43615, I'm not sure what that is, but that's 28,000.
So these signs, that's just so.
Okay. I will hold this up during my Zoom meeting tomorrow and say, since they aren't doing anything else, now that the health department can't do that.
I'll send you the spreadsheet there. I'll be happy.
Okay. That would, I'm sure that would be helpful.
Not an issue.
Mr. Mayor, I've been hiding from you for a long time, and I just wanted to, anybody who might be watching this meeting, there's no shame in hiding from COVID-19. At least not for me, and a large strapping, healthy young man. I'm being careful with family, and I'm coming in contact with a lot of folks who find that behavior inappropriate, but I got to tell you, as a young man, I was very conscious that I didn't want to be the last guy that died in Vietnam. I don't want to be the last guy that died in COVID. I think we're looking at another 6 to 8 months of difficult time, and if we're smart about this, individually, regardless of what our government leaders do, we can protect ourselves and help us get through this and get through those times. And I am very optimistic about the future of the news, the last 2 weeks of vaccines, and about treatments has been something short of exciting. But we're all better off if we just don't get it. We have in the Canaan household cut back a little bit on our Thanksgiving plans, not because we don't love or miss our fellow family members, but because this is going to be a little extra cautious for the Thanksgiving 2021 as all of us there.
Thank you, Mr. Hayden.
And I hope we all take that to heart.
Stout family had an early Thanksgiving 9 days ago on the shores of Lake Erie during that balmy 70-degree weather we had, and we will not be welcoming out-of-town family for Thanksgiving this year. It's very sad, but we're not. And I also draw Council's attention to Agenda Item 12. It's a resolution asking for the governor's and the Ohio legislature's support of extending the deadline for allowing participation by elected officials electronically. So we need to get that done, otherwise it expires at the end of the year. All right. I'd like to move on now with the agenda, with agenda item six. We are back tonight with the final easement for the Christian Road project. Mr. Allen.
Yes, Mayor Stow, as you indicated, this is 25 and final. This will secure all of the easements that we need for the project. The project is advertised right now, and I believe at my last check we had 8 or 9 contractors that have plans out for the project, so we would anticipate a good competitive number with those. And we won't be back to council for approval for that bid until the first meeting in January. That's a 2021 project. But, excuse me, for large time, I confused my projects. We will be coming to you in December. My apologies.
Just on the bid, I've seen the advertisements in the Toledo Blade. And your bids are due when?
They're due the first week of December.
Okay.
We'll plan to bring it to probably the second meeting of December for approval. But this easement was in the amount of $1,035, and we recommend approval.
Mr. McCann, I'm going to ask you to read this one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, he is. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 98-2020. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only, accepting a temporary construction easement from Donovan Ross for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It is moved and seconded that ordinance number 98-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 98-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 98-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 98-2020 is approved. As I'm sure you all know, our charter updates were approved, so we're only going to have to go through this two-motion process for a couple more meetings. Then we can streamline things on all these unanimous or nearly unanimous pieces of legislation. Moving up to agenda item 7, this is for a bridge replacement to the Silica Road. This is just the Silica Road bridge by North View High School? Yes.
Yes.
It's just confusing with the LUC in front of it?
Yeah.
Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, this is the replacement of the bridge by North View High School, as well as the pedestrian bridge there by North View High School. It will remove the two separate structures and replace it with a single structure. It includes a wider walkway. To basically be able to coordinate that with the multi-use path once we're able to get the western extension of the river trail between Main Street and Silica Road down. It'll tie into this bridge area in some manner. Total cost of the project is $1,539,022, estimated cost. We were successful in securing $1,209,333 of federal grants. This LPA agreement just stipulates what ODOT will do, what the city will do, who's spending what, and gets that process formalized. And we would recommend approval of the agreement.
Any questions for Mr. Allen? Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 99-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with the state of Ohio Department of Transportation on behalf of the city of Sylvania for the Silica Drive Bridge Replacement Project, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Second.
It is moved and seconded that ordinance number 99, 2020, be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move, final passage of ordinance number 99, 2020, as an emergency measure.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 99, 2020, as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 99, 2020 is approved. Now we're going to move on with similar agreement for the improvements at Monroe and Silica. Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This project, if you remember during the public involvement process, we were taking a look at the possibility of either a roundabout or a signalization improvement. The information that we got as a result of that public involvement was that the community surrounding area just was leaning much more towards a signalization improvement rather than a roundabout project. When we did the grant application, we included both options with ODOT, and the estimate for a roundabout project was actually a little more expensive, a little more than $3.2 million. And so in the one agreement, you'll see that figure because they used the more expensive option. The construction cost, estimated construction cost of the signalization improvement is actually $2,986,480. And as you can see in the letter, that'll provide turn lanes being added to the eastbound and northbound approaches at the intersection, a third eastbound lane of traffic up from Silica Drive to Main Street, and then all of the traffic signal infrastructure will be upgraded in that area. Which is a good thing because we are having weekly problems with the existing signal at Main Monroe. It is time. That infrastructure, much of our traffic signal infrastructure is at end of life, and so we're working through those. The grant that we secured was for $2,373,500, and again, this is a local public agency agreement. It just stipulates who is going to be responsible for certain duties and who's providing the funding. And we recommend approval of the agreement.
Again, this is a CMAC grant, or a congestion mitigation and air quality grant. We're not going to the same level. We're getting grant money, but it was a different place to go. And we were fortunate that these funds became available when the city of Toledo chose not, but was unable to approve Secor Road. So that's where this grant money really got cycled to us from. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 100, 2020. All members of the council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Authorizing Mayor and Director of Finance to enter into an agreement with the State of Ohio Department of Transportation on behalf of the City of Sylvania for the Monroe Street and Silica Drive Intersection Improvement Project, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that ordinance number 100, 2020 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 100, 2020 as an emergency measure.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 100, 2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 100, 2020 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 9. This is for our OPWC application, which are due in summer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is our OPWC grant application for this year. We had initially considered two separate projects, but we have kind of taken a look at what we had planned to submit as our primary project this year, as well as our primary project for next year. And we've taken a look at some combinations
with some of our smaller projects to be able to include those rather than do separate applications. So this year, what we've done is taken our larger project, the Arun and Monroe intersection improvement, and combined that with a smaller project that we would not have been able to obtain any funds for. It would have just not scored that well, and we would have been paying for the project ourselves. The Arun and Monroe intersection project, the total cost of that project, it now stands at $2,633,729. When we initially did the study for that project, the estimate for that project was just under $1.9 million. As you can see, the cost has climbed. There have been some construction issues that have caused that number to increase, as well as the projected right-of-way acquisition costs. The right-of-way acquisition costs are not finalized. We're still, the consultant that's doing the appraisals is still working on those. They have not submitted what those appraisal values are going to be, but we've made some estimates based on some other items. That cost could come down, but because we have to have this application put in, that's the number that we're required to look at this stage. We don't want to be low, we'd rather be higher than that. So that is a little conservative, and we believe that cost will be lower, but for the grant purposes, it's better to be on that high side. So for that project alone, we do have a $1,677,766 grant secured already through the Highway Safety Improvement Program. The PHB signal, or the pedestrian hybrid beacon, is a project that we looked at the river trail crossing that goes across the river road. Anybody that's walked that trail or rode bicycles on that trail knows that if you, in doing so, if you get an opening, you don't waste time. You get across there as quickly as you can, because there's obviously a lot of traffic, fast-moving traffic, and there's not, if you get a window, you have to take advantage of it. The pedestrian hybrid signal, or another name for it is a HAWK signal, which stands for High Intensity Activated Walk. That's where the HAWK comes from. Is in the picture that I sent to you earlier by email, and for those of you that are here, you have hard copies of it. Basically what that is there'll be a pole on each side of the road, it signals at each lane. As you can see in that signal, there are two lights on top, one light on the bottom. The two lights on top are red bulbs, and the one light on the bottom is a yellow bulb. And so, typically, if no walkers are in the area, that light, that signal will be blank. Everything will be black. If a walker or a bike rider comes up to the river trail and pushes the button to activate that signal, the initial thing that will happen is the yellow bulb will start flashing, and then it'll do it for a certain time, and then it will go solid yellow, and then the two red lights up top will start to flash, and then they will go red. Both lights will go red. When that both lights go red, traveling, car traffic is a stop, it's a requirement because of the red lights. The walkers will cross the road. They'll be given a certain amount of time to cross the road, and then the sequence will reverse. The red lights will start to flash to let the cars know that it's going to be switching pretty soon, and then it goes blank. It doesn't go through the yellow process. But the red lights will flash for a short time, and then everything goes to black, like it is now, and the car traffic starts. So that's a way to protect the pedestrian and bicycle traffic that uses that river trail. It is getting a lot of use, which is fantastic. We want to make sure that it continues to be a
safe and actually improve the safety of that area so that we don't have any accidents. The estimated cost of that project is actually $155,266. With everything that we put together, we came up with a OPWC application where we know the ODOT Highway Safety Improvement Program funds of over $1.6 million. And then the remaining dollars are where we started to, you start to play percentages and how many points do you get and things of that nature. This is where we felt most comfortable locking in the dollars, ensuring that we'll get the project with a high score, but not leaving too much on the table, so to speak, that we don't ask for too little money when we put it back more. So we'll be asking for $669,000 from OPWC and grant funds, and that will leave $442,229 as the city's responsibility towards these two projects. So we'll be, what is that, about 15%, 16% or so of the project. That'll be almost $2.8 million project. So we recommend approval of the application and approval to move forward with submitting.
I have seen fog lights in operation in downtown Worthington. Downtown Worthington is a much tighter situation than this big divided highway picture that you have, and it is very intense there. They had trouble getting all the lights, I think, on the pole going across the street, and they certainly get your attention. Arun Road is also tighter than this, but not as tight. There are two northbound lanes and one southbound lane, or two southbound lanes, yeah. Both ways, so you're going to have the four lights, and it will look pretty, I guess I didn't know the way, it's just going to look very built up with these lights. But if you don't do that, what the research says is that nobody's going to pay attention. We have those strobe lights that sometimes go off. Sometimes people stop and sometimes they don't. But I think this will have a positive effect there and stop traffic. I go up and down that route several times a day, and I see people, as much as Mr. Allen described, just waiting on the sidewalks to try and dash across there. And it doesn't work very well if you've got a baby carriage or a wheelchair or a wagon. That's the problem.
Kevin?
Yes.
So what is the, what's the thought behind using this compared to just the green, yellow, red traditional light? There. Like, isn't that what's on Holland Sylvania at the bike trail? It's just a normal.
It is right now. It may not be what's there for very much longer.
Yeah. But I just, from my knowledge, because I guess in my head, this requires some training for people that drive cars and relearning what these lights mean and what to do. And I said, no, what's the thought behind not putting a traditional green, yellow, red there?
Part of the reasoning is in the Ohio Manual Uniform Traffic Control Devices, or in UTCD, which is the Bible of traffic control devices. They highly recommend that you use traditional traffic signals only where you have where you need to control the flow of traffic, vehicular traffic, in at least three directions. Anything outside of normal vehicular traffic, they recommend some of the special signals, as in this case the Hawk signal, for that type of control. What they have found is that in some areas, and those signals probably could be programmed differently, but what they found is when people go through a signal and it's green, 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 and you know they do it, let's say 10 times throughout the week, it becomes just like a sign. It just becomes noise.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden it's red and they're not paying attention to it. So they've come up with something different that's out of the ordinary for what the eyes normally see, and the Hawk symbol is one.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the, just so I understand, the walk, you get the walk signal when the red light is solid or when the red light starts flashing, you get the walk signal?
You'll get the red, walk signal when the red light is solid.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for the car, is flashing yellow stop or is flashing yellow go?
Flashing yellow is the start to slow down, start to slow, just like a normal traffic signal. Yellow,
yep.
Yellow means get the brakes, get stopped if you can.
Got it.
And that'll be the signal.
Cool.
You know, I would share too, Mr. Eller, I think this is probably the number one question that I get is when are you going to make that Haroon Road crossing safe? So I'm thrilled to see this. And I think that I don't know when the time will be right to include this as part of a mayor's message or something, but I think it's very important for our community to know at the appropriate time that action will be taken, because I get questions on this all the time. Walking, emails to me, phone calls to me. This is my number one question.
It's amazing how I think there's been about an 8-year difference between, there was original traffic study done at the time when River Trail design started. And so actually that's been about 9 or 10 years. And that area didn't warrant a hawk signal of that type at that time. But we just recently did the room study and got us the council authorities, and the numbers now.
Well, you know, if you look at Selma opening up and all those additional people in those apartments, there will be just that much more foot traffic going. Yeah. So it's going to happen. I know, yeah. It's just a few years out, but.
Yep.
A couple of other questions around the timing of the hawk signal is what relative to the actual improvements we're talking about at Haroon and Monroe?
The hawk signal will probably occur either at the front end of the improvements that are being done as a Haroon and Monroe, or ahead of the improvements that are being done.
Yeah, I agree with Mrs. Westfall's comment. I've got a lot of questions on this. I'm sure the members of council have as well. So the closer we can push that to the president, the better off I would like it. Speaking as one member of council. The other thing that, not being as familiar with this as maybe others, what is the signalization to the individual who's on the trail wanting to cross? How does that work? I understand what it is for the cars, the vehicles. What is it for the actual use of the trail?
That's much like you would see at an existing pedestrian crossing at an intersection. It'll be the hand up if the pedestrian is not to go. He's going to walk up to this intersection. There'll be a hand up. Don't cross. They'll push the button. The hand will stay up until the overhead signal goes through all of its sequence. Once it goes to solid red, then he'll get the walk signal, the stick man, if you will, that it's time to cross. That'll be set. What that timing is going to be, that will have to be determined at a later time on the width of the road and things of that nature. But that stick man will be up for the walk signal, will be up for a determined amount of time. And then at that time, the hand will go up with a countdown, letting them know that you have 15 seconds, and then you have to be across the road by that time. So it'll basically count down. The hand will go up and say, you can't, in 15 seconds, you need to be out of the road.
So for those citizens who are using the trail, who don't have the same level of visual acuity as perhaps you and I do, will it also be sound signals as well at that end?
Everything will be ADA compliant, which includes the...
I was assuming that's what you were going to say. I was just double checking.
Yep.
The only other thing, if I may make a comment, I just did a quick addition there. I just wanted to compliment the administration, Mr. Aller, and his team and yourself. This one and the prior two is about $5.8 million of money that's being brought back into the community over the next few years for these particular projects. And I know we've said it before, I just wanted to emphasize that we do appreciate the efforts that you all go through this process, because it's, I don't know what the success of other communities are, but it's pretty impactful for our community to bring this out in fact.
We were fortunate to have Attorney Allen, who was very good at this grantsmanship doing it. I sat on the OPWC board for years, and I could never be this successful, but he really works the numbers and knows. But none of this would be possible if we didn't have the capital improvement funds that we have to provide the local funds. So that's just as important. And I can't let it go by without reminding everybody that we've got about $25 million in grant funds coming for the US 23 intersection project. Not all OPWC funds. In fact, those have been applied for in that project. That's the last piece of the puzzle. Okay.
I just have one. So I would agree that this can't come soon enough. And I have another question that about a crossing that I probably should know the answer to this, but I don't. So at King Road at the UP Parks Trail, whose responsibility would that one be? Because that's another one. I get a lot of comments about Haroon Road, but I also get a lot of comments about the King Road crossing at the University Parks Trail. Is that that's the county.
I haven't heard. I've heard them talk of a couple locations, but that is not one that I've heard them speak. It doesn't mean it's not in the plans, but that's not one that I've heard.
Because that one is just as bad, maybe even worse, because the cars are going faster.
Why?
It's still the cars are going faster, and I feel like there's more cars there. It takes a longer time to. But whatever. So it's the county, it's not us.
I go out there all the time and that one is done.
All right, if we're ready, Mr. Fry with ordinance, with resolution 22-2020.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 22-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. A resolution authorizing the mayor and director of finance to file an Ohio Public Works Commission grant application for the Monroe Street and Haroon Road intersection improvement project, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that resolution number 22-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution 22-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second. The group has seconded for final passage of resolution 22-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolution 22-2020 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 10. You have in front of you ordinance 101-2020. This is to enter into a ground lease with Savannah Area Joint Recreation District for leasing them a parking lot just west of Centennial Terrace. I'm going to have Mrs. Brining help me with the details that are in this. And correct me as I go here, Mrs. Brining. About 12 years ago, it probably says exactly here in the ordinance, we approved as a city council, it was in 2009, a lease for this same property, I think for a period of 10 years for $1 a year. The city did not have use for that property, and we felt that they should be allowed to use it. We expected them to try to purchase it from us prior to this, but I guess when you give it to them at $1 a year, what's the point of doing that? So when the lease became due, I said, we can't continue this arrangement. And oh, by the way, we need that property for future City of Sylvania Service Department use. If our current service building is replaced, we're going to move everything out there towards the forestry building, and we need the space out there. So I made the proposal to them through Mr. Sanford and directly to Mr. McMahon and a couple of members of his board, we will buy the Brown property, which City Council has authorized the purchase of the Brown property. We own it now. That replaces this property, and that Sage Art should buy this property. I had hoped that they would incorporate it into their levy, this year. That levy was taken off the ballot, or not placed on the ballot due to the pandemic, and so they couldn't do that. So we have negotiated this lease, to lease it to them until a levy passes, at which time they are required to purchase the property at a predetermined amount of money. Because the property is smaller, it's a little bit less than the Brown property, but that is the transaction. And we also said, well, gee, we want that property annexed to the city along with Centennial Terrace if we're going to be providing this benefit. Did I miss something or misrepresent something there?
You hit everything. I will point out, the lease rate is $7,500 per year until the levy passes. So they did agree to a substantial increase over the dollar that they were paying.
But not enough to have it say it's a lease purchase option.
Correct.
It's a balloon payment lease.
Yep.
Purchase option.
That's correct. And I did get the original annexation petition today signed by the state yard board, so.
This is Capolini, who had been present at that vote. My understanding, it was an 11 to 12 vote.
Right.
Signed the annexation petition.
Right, there was, the one vote against was from the township. And Dave Krant, or Dave Simcoe did have a long speech, but I mean, it made sense to everybody else.
This is a one owner annexation, so I don't think the Lucas County commissioners would have any problem approving it. And it is in agreement elsewhere when we're working with the township that they will not oppose this annexation either. It's always been the way that if the owner approves, they will not oppose it. So I encourage City Council to approve Ordinance 101-2020 and enter into this land lease for that parking lot area, and that in effect will necessitate their purchase of it as soon as they pass a levy.
Mr. Mayor, I'll just note that a few years ago, when we hit the original lease, I was
I recall that.
I appreciate the administration's inclusion of the annexation in this extension of the lease.
Thank you. Other questions? Ms. Stahl, would you read us Ordinance 101-2020?
Yes, Authorizing the mayor and director of finance of the city of Pyle to enter into a grant for this property and purchase there, being the second Thursday and the second Thursday.
Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 101-2020 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
On the final passage, ordinance
101-2020. It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 101-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 101-2020 is approved. Moving on to the second page of our agenda for this evening, we're up to agenda item 11. This is ordinance 102, and it's to donate holsters for guns we don't have anymore. Chief Storrs.
Thank you, Mayor. So, if everyone remembers, earlier this year, we were able to transition out of our older 40 caliber Glock firearms, and we were able to do a trade-in, two updates of 9mm handguns, and there was a variety of reasons that was advantageous to us. One of the primary reasons was the township used the same weapon system, our calibers were different. There's a variety of other reasons that we made that update. We were able to transition those weapons cost neutral. The trade-in on all of our guns and some of our older weapons in stock cover the cost of the new firearms. That left us with about 50 of these older holsters. Police holsters are not really, there's no really use on the civilian market for them. They are pretty specialized. They have several different security features and that sort of thing. So we listed these, our old holsters, there's a big box of them in the captain's office, on LESO, the Law Enforcement Support Office, which is part of the Department of Public Safety for Ohio. It's a secure website, which I did have a login for. And within a day, our police department's are interested in these holsters, because they're still using weapons that were similar to our old low caliber weapons. And these holsters are specifically designed for, because of the security features on them, they're exactly made to the size of the firearm. So we're simply just moving them out of our inventory to the department that can use them. So.
Chief, just to put you on the spot for a moment, I think we have the same discussion. Why are you choosing to donate these rather than release them on the field?
Well, for one, there's really not a civilian market for them because they're made specifically for law enforcement. They're relatively inexpensive, $80 to $100, depending on the vendors. So the resale value is negligible. And them being a specialty item, they'll be, easily utilized by the police department, but on the civilian market, they're just really...
How long do we utilize them?
Some of them are... So our previous weapon system, two different generations of that firearm were able to be utilized by these holsters. Like, we have 50 of them in stock, so we'll have 30 officers on the department at a time. So some of the holsters could be 12 years old, some of them are 2 years old. This one is used, it looks pretty new, but this one was maybe 2 years old. So we require the officers to keep their original packaging, that sort of thing, so they take pretty good care of them. So they're still serviceable to other departments, they just don't fit the weapon system we have
right now. Any questions for the chief? We have ordinance 102, 2020 to donate some of these to Piedmont Lake, to Walbridge, and to Creston Police Department. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 102-2020. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the donation of 25 Safari Land holsters to the Avon Lake Police Department, 10 Safari Land holsters to the Walbridge Police Department, 10 Safari Land holsters to the Woodville Police Department, and 10 Safari Land holsters to the Creston Police Department, determining said property to be of no further use to the City of Sylvania, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 102-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 102-2020.
Second. Moved and seconded the final passage of ordinance 102-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 102-2020 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 12. This is a resolution that I spoke of earlier requesting the Ohio legislature to extend the deadline for holding public meetings electronically. When this was passed back in the early spring, it was assume that that would be more than enough time for us to meet electronically. And Chuck has been gracious to be here and help with this all the time. Well, you've got months to go now, it looks like, Chuck.
Thanks, that's very comforting.
We appreciate it. Team McCaug has been trying to get this passed for some time, but this is different than what Team McCaug is requesting. This ordinance is requesting them is requesting an extension until the COVID pandemic emergency is at an end. KEMACOG is lobbying to make this permanent, and I don't agree with that. I think for KEMACOG committee meetings, that might be appropriate. They might have more attendees. So I think a lot of the value of KEMACOG is actually getting down there and having the side conversations with your peers. But that's their position. My position is that I think elected officials need to show up in person when it's safe, so that citizens come in and see you on a pre-scheduled basis to express their opinion when necessary. So this is not a request for a permanent emergency waiving of attending in person. This is until the healthcare emergency is at an end. All right, Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 23-2020. All members of council having received copies, I will read by title only. A resolution of the Council of the City of Sylvania in support of Senate Bill 365 and to urge Governor DeWine and the Ohio State Legislature to extend the deadline for holding public meetings electronically, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Been moved and seconded that resolution number 23-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution number 23-2020.
Second. Been moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 23-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 23-2020 is approved. Agenda item 13 is a report back from the Planning Commission concerning special use permit 1-2020. This is a request for a special use permit for a firing range or a gun range at the old Anderson's Market on Sylvania Avenue. The Planning Commission met last Wednesday, and the two partners for this were present and made a very solid presentation. They were prepared for every question that I and the Planning Commission asked. Appears to be a very well capitalized and organized and safe proposal. The Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend its approval to you. But that's just a message saying that, yes, it does meet our zoning code, and they don't think it's an inappropriate location for them. It is a political decision for you. The two gentlemen that came in were both retired Marines, and they certainly knew their business. There was no doubt about it. They expect to generate $8 or $9 million a year of revenue with 15 full-time employees and 15 part-time employees at that location. They explained to me the system for containing the bullets. They will erect an entirely separate structure inside the existing building for stopping the bullets. The bullets will not have a steel bullet trap at the end. It is rubber bullet trap. The bullets will be stopped in rubber and not shattered, which reduces the problem with the lead dust getting out of the facility, and it also goes a long way to keeping the noise inside. They did say that if you are inside their facility, you will hear a thud, thud, thud when you're outside of the bulletproof range, but the building enclosure will stop that. But I think you need to hear this all on your own. The next step is for you to set a public hearing for this, and then be able to take action when you are ready on it. I know that Mr. Sanford traveled down I-75. Anything you want to say, Mr. Sanford, to see an existing range fight owned by these gentlemen in operation?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I can share some notes, but I was there Friday. It's a very impressive facility. It's 35,000 square feet. Compared to this site, I think it's 31,000. There's some features at the one in Cartersville that won't be as a size. There's some other features that they have for law enforcement and some things down there. It's there, the firing range, you can go in and you can rent guns to use the firing range. And the club memberships, there's 2,500 members of this Cartersville location. they would like to have about 4,000 down there. They expect this site to be very popular, and it's the memberships that really drive the participation here. There is no alcohol allowed on the premises. I checked that. They do have rooms that the members can use, but that's usually just for maybe a get together after they use facilities. It's pretty impressive. They have guns and ammunition on sale, and but the big thing I think is the membership being able to use that shooting range.
Mr. McCann, you were present at the Land Commission meeting. Anything you'd like to add at this point?
I will echo your words, Mr. Mayor, that they were very professional, very prepared. They were able to answer any question with certainty, and I feel, especially the way they conveyed the interest for the those involved in the financing of this, that it's a large community. And as you say, their memberships is what they're looking for, a family-friendly environment for this. And also, I concur on a great location.
They did report they have 30 local investors that are helping to capitalize the project. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Booker has determined that we can meet the notice requirement by setting a December 21st public hearing. I don't know whether you want to do that or wait until after the first of the year. I did not feel that we needed to, from the owner, I didn't get the impression that we needed to move ahead real quickly. Do you agree with that, Mr. Sanford?
I'm sorry.
I don't know if 4 days before Christmas is the time to have a public hearing and expect anybody to show up.
Just ignore your call, I guess. I did ask Council Call there, and the timing, they expect about 5 to 6 months to do the build out once everything will be approved, and they're shooting for it till July 1st. Okay. They will be ready.
I'm sorry. Mr. Stanford, did you say they need 5 to 6 months for the build out with the July 1st starting? So if we didn't do it in December, we need to do it early January to meet your timeline.
I mean, I'm sure they can adjust to it, but they're just, everything is moving well for them at this point, as far as all their other plans. So everything's in place, and if they support the earlier, we can have a hearing.
Actually, when they were in the room with the Plan Commission, I told the Plan Commission the public hearing would probably be after the first of the year. Oh, Mrs. Booker surprised me that we could get it in, and I should have known that. But it's a 30-day notice requirement, so we could get it in by the 21st. So, Council, you can either do it on December 21st, or I recommend you do it on January 4th. That's our first meeting of the year. Mr. Hayden, do you have an opinion?
Well, I read the meeting minutes of the Planning Commission. I know you're into the soccer region, and I was supportive of it going forward. I don't have a problem with December 21st, but if it's the will of council to put that off until that first meeting January, I'm not opposed to that. I don't think this is a talking number of people about this. I don't think this is going to be a controversial matter, and I think the owners and the supporters of this
there is no conflict on the 21st. The mayor will not be having his holiday reception as is normal that day prior to the city council meeting. So that is not a consideration. I think it's just the 21st is probably fine. If I were a neighbor, I think I'd want to come and hear more about it. And if they happen to be out of town for the holidays, we're going to miss it. But we're going to do it via Zoom, so they can do it in anyway.
As long as we're doing it Zoom, I think we're good.
And Mr. And Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure January 4th is any better. You're coming off of that holiday weekend to the first day back to work and trying to get yourself back on track. I'm not sure the 4th is really any better than the 21st.
All right. Let's proceed with it on the 21st. Mr. Keenum.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, I move that we hold a public hearing on application number SCP-1-2020. This is the case of a B2 general business to SCP special use permit. The property located at 7600 West 11th Avenue. We hold that public hearing on December 21st at 6:30 p.m.
All right, is there a second for that?
Second.
All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the clerk is directed to publicly advertise that public hearing.
Mr. Mayor, I think allocating an hour tonight is appropriate. I was not at the planning committee meeting two or one. I
want to have enough time so that neighbors can come in and ask all the questions they want. I don't have a problem with 6:30.
Mr. Mayor, will the neighbors be notified? Quick letter, yeah.
Okay, registered mail.
Doug, I believe an hour would be sufficient.
I normally don't send it to
you. Okay, you just send it out regular mail. We'll do it off regular mail.
Mr. Mayor, maybe I'm missing something, but I'm looking at my calendar here, and it's supposed to be like the 21st is Sunday.
Did I do the wrong thing?
No, I think you've got the wrong calendar here.
21st is Monday on my calendar.
Monday, December 21st, 2020. You've got a calendar that's got the wrong day.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah, no, I'm showing Monday the 21st.
Fair enough. My calendar's moved up it. Yeah. My apologies.
There's a homeowners association in that development behind Anderson, I'm sure. Some of those folks will be getting notice to how they should provide the officers as well.
Thank you. All right, I think we're ready to move on to agenda item 14, which is committee reports. Added item was the safety committee meeting discussion from the meeting held 2 weeks ago today. Mr. Fry reported during the council meeting that the chief and Mr. Aller made a presentation of either hiring 3, 4, or 5 employees. That would determine how often or how much this building would be open. City Council, and it was a recommendation of the administration that 3 employees would be sufficient to keep the building open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 5 days a week, Chief?
Correct.
If it went to 4, it could be open from 8 a.m. to midnight, 5 days a week.
Correct.
5 employees to keep it open 24/7. And there were financial repercussions of each one of those solutions. My memory is that the members of the safety committee thought that the 3 employee solution was the place to go. But take a look at it if it doesn't work out. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I believe that the members of the safety committee were comfortable to start out with 3 and 10. And it appears like there's additional needs, and obviously we can address that as this time we go on. But that was the thought process of the safety committee, and I sure believe a number of the other members of council, all the other members of council, other than Mrs. Westwell, got a personal conflict.
And what we decided, or what council decided to do, was to think about it for these 2 weeks. If the council has any questions right now, they can be asked. Mrs. Westfall, as chairman of that committee, can ask her questions, or ask the legislation to be prepared.
Mr. Mayor, I would just want to get clarification. I did listen to the tape, but it was, it's always a little hard to capture everything in those tapes. I just want to make sure I'm 100% clear. We do have the option, if we were determined based on some tracking of numbers, if there was a huge need from that 8 to midnight timeline, that we could revisit this and add that fourth person if we determined there was really a need. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's my point of Mr. Nava, but yes, that's what we'll do, that if that doesn't work out and we need the building open from 8 p.m. to midnight, that would be how we have to do it. But there is enough work there, the three people can get it done.
Yes. Yeah, with three people, we are throwing, we're putting a lot of work into those three positions, but we do believe that we can get it accomplished with those three positions. Going with the extended hours and going to that fourth person, the only thing, I should say, but the extended hours would be for that fourth person to be able to keep it open from 8 in the morning to midnight. That's just not possible with three persons.
Yep, I get that. And then, I'm sorry, I should have called you on this, Mr. Aller, versus taking up council's time on a meeting that I wasn't present at. But if you would indulge me for 1 minute, did I understand that it's 8 to 8, 5 days a week?
Yes.
So we don't have a need on the weekend for anything?
We pulled some records from this past year.
Okay.
About 5 months worth of data. And we had approximately 52 visits
okay.
to the station during that 8 p.m. time frame. The 8 p.m. to midnight, we had 5.
Okay.
And we will still have, you know, someone will still be able to get a hold of somebody.
Okay.
But it is just
okay. So those are all the questions that I have. I don't know if any other members of council have any questions.
We will be starting about the middle of December, closing the station here from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. And the night shift dispatching going over to the township. We will learn from that as well.
Okay.
This step isn't going to happen until about September of next year. So we do have time to reevaluate it. However, we want to start planning for it now, and we wanted to give the employees that are out there now notice that there's going to be three positions available if they want to stay.
Okay. I feel comfortable to put a motion to ask for legislation to be prepared regarding this matter.
Second. Moved and seconded directing the administration to prepare legislation for having the three employees 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. shift 5 days a week. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. This is frying. That means we have to do a few different things. We have to change our police. Okay, we'll set a pay rate for those as well. Okay. All right. Any other committee reports to be made at this time? Or any committee referrals? Added agenda item 16 is proposed resolution 24-2020. This is a letter I got in the mail today, and apparently Mr. Westlock got it in the mail also, from the Toledo Regional Chamber of Commerce, asking for our support for Small Business Saturday on November 28th, 2020. I don't restrict my business to on Saturday a week, but if that helps them out, by all means, let's support it as well. Any comments from members of City Council?
I do think we have a lot of small businesses in our community, and they, I believe, have benefited from this same type of an opportunity in the past. I think it would be helpful for them. Certainly with COVID, there perhaps will be questions about safety issues, but I do think that they all understand the guidelines and are engaged in the guidelines from a safety standpoint already. So I support advancing this.
Are we doing, is it just a resolution, or is there something else that we're doing to celebrate? Like, do they recommend?
Other things, Mrs. Capelini, but the Chamber, the Toledo Regional Chamber of Commerce, asked for our response in a timely manner. We got to do this. We don't meet again until December.
No, I mean, I think it's a great thing. I mean, our businesses in Sylvania have been doing the Small Business Saturday for like the last 20 years, but I'm just wondering if we're planning on doing something else.
Maybe you can help.
Get the word out.
Notification. Publicly notice that we support it, and please come to downtown Sylvania anytime, especially that Saturday.
We can certainly put that on our website.
Absolutely. Mrs. Westphal, would you like to read that resolution?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 24-2020. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. A resolution of the Council of the City of Sylvania recognizing November 28th, 2020 as Small Business Saturday and supporting awareness of the value of our small businesses, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. Moved and seconded that resolution number 24-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution number 24-2020.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 24-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor of saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 24-2020 is approved, and this is where we need to get a even less time to copy down to the legal number. We do have the original letter approved by U.S. Mail, so it's more in the mayor's office than that. That brings us to the end of our scheduled agenda. There are three information pieces, the October bank reconciliation, the Board of Architecture Review Minutes. If there's no further business, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and this City Council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting 3 weeks from tonight on Monday, December 7th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending. Be safe.